second guess our abilities. How often do we second guess what we're doing and if we're doing the right thing? For most of us, it's every day, and myself included. And so today we're talking about a super fun topic. We're talking about something simple, but not necessarily easy to do, is we're talking about how to just do you. And so I've got Sarah KKN here with me, who's the owner and designer of Nesters LLC. And Sarah and I had recorded on another podcast, the one that she runs for Napo, which she can tell you a little bit about. And so in that recording, we just had the greatest time talking about all of this. And we started talking about some of these concepts. And I immediately said, I've got to have you on my podcast, because this is a topic that a lot of people need to hear, and we need to be reminded of it. It's not the first time that we've heard it, but we need to be reminded of it. So you're going to really enjoy not only Sarah's wisdom, but you're really going to enjoy her journey, because I think for a lot of us, the curiosity of like, how does somebody get to where they're at? And you know, that jungle gym of career development in our careers. So I think you're really going to enjoy that. So Sarah, I'm so happy to have you on the podcast today. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I agree. I couldn't have had more fun chatting with you on our other podcast. And I just know this is going to be a great convo.
Perfect. So let's jump right in. I want the listeners to hear about your journey, and you know, what you've done and what you're doing now, so they kind of get a sense for you know, how they can align and learn from what you've learned along your journey.
Absolutely. So like many of you, like I'm sure all of your listeners, we all have kind of this crazy history and past, and we all feel like, at least for me, when I was very little, I knew exactly what I wanted to do, which for a lot of people, they're like, oh, that is not like me. But I kind of then had that point in my life where I think the conversation is going to end up going here with us today is, you know, I wasn't doing me. I wasn't being my authentic self. I saw myself starting to not really like the person I was becoming. And so I had to pivot. So I'll start back to when I was, three, 4 years old. I loved to sing. I loved to sing. I loved to dance. I loved being the center of attention. Back in the day when our parents had camcorders, my dad would film us at family events. I would literally take the camcorder and tell him to put it on me. And then I would immediately make up a song and dance and entertain everyone, or at least I thought I was entertaining. And I took that little girl's dream at 3, 4 years old. I started listening to musicals. I loved West Side Story and Broadway and that whole thing. And I took that all the way until I was 34 years old. I went to school for musical theater. I got my bachelor's in music of musical theater. I immediately moved to New York City with $400 in my pocket and a big dream. And I was stubborn. I am as stubborn as they come. And everyone told me to not have a backup plan and that it was going to be hard and that I would get told no a lot. And I said, cool, I'm fine with that. And I had my struggles getting to where I was, you know, I'm from, you don't look right, or you don't look the part that you sound. I mean, all those things that we deal with in real life, I had to deal with in my profession, still didn't care. I was like, okay, I'll transform myself. If I'm too curvy, I will do my best to get as thin as possible. If I don't sing high enough, I'm going to take 2-3 voice lessons a week and get to where I need to be. I had a pretty good career. I went on the national tour of a few Broadway musicals. I did a lot of regional theater. I joined the Actors Union. I got into all the best, highest caliber elite acting and musical theater classes you could get into. But I also did a lot of bartending, and I did a lot of working at restaurants and hotels, and did what I had to do between my gigs to pay the bills. And eventually, everyone was right. It's really hard. And it was very frustrating that no matter how much time and effort and willingness I was to transform myself into whatever the casting directors or directors wanted me to be, that it wasn't always enough. And eventually, I would find myself sitting in lines. I mean, these lines for musicals, for Broadway shows, are like out the door, down the street, and you're seeing these other, for me, females practicing their 16 bar cuts of what they're going to sing for the director, or maybe it's a final callback. I'll never forget my very last audition before I decided to pivot was for the Broadway show Newsies. And I am perfect for the lead role. I was perfect for it and I knew it. And so I invested everything I had in that audition. I got through the first audition where you just sing a little bit and then they bring you back in for like the associate casting director. And then you come in for the actual casting director. And then they sit you in front of the director of the show, the choreographer, everyone who has a say, the producers, they're all there. And at that point I had invested, I'll never forget counting, $1,200 into those auditions between voice lessons, acting lessons. I saw the show twice to really study the character. They want you to kind of really not put too much of a stamp of what you want to bring to the character. They kind of have this person they want you to become. So I did all that and I got into the room after spending $1,200 and my audition, which they give you, you know, pages and pages of sides and music. And I did all of it and I was prepared and I walk in, I sang the first, maybe 30 seconds. And then I got the words, thank you. And they asked me to leave. And I didn't even cry. I just was so upset. And I looked at the numbers. So the first time I actually treated myself like a business and I said, this return on investment is not great. And I noticed myself, I really thought long and hard when I'm at these auditions looking at these other women, I'm sizing them up against me. I'm sizing the way they sound up against me. I'm walking in feeling kind of jaded and I can't, and I'm talking to my friends with this like, you know, disdain for the industry and for people who I admire usually and enjoy. And I wasn't liking who I was becoming. And I knew that if I stuck it out long enough, you know, I could probably continue to have a decent career. I did make good money. I had great roles. I was making an impact, but was it worth it? And did I feel like my best self doing this? Was I still doing it for the right reasons? Was I being egotistical? Was it just to see how much I could get paid and how many lead roles I could get and how much I could travel and who would know exactly what I was doing more than just doing the reason why I went into the industry to begin with was to storytell. And if I was being honest with myself, I wasn't doing those things. I wasn't doing it for the storytelling. I wasn't necessarily there for the audience anymore. And it was really hard, but I decided to pivot. And eventually I dug deep, hardened. What else did I like to do? And I didn't have a backup plan because everyone tells you not to have one. And I didn't. And so I did a lot of soul searching, checked myself into some therapy, got myself a business coach. And it's like, I know I can do some great things and I can still, you know, somehow put myself on some sort of stage and share with people knowledge and help them get to where they want to go in some capacity. And I learned about the industry of organizing, professional organizing, putting things in their place. And if I look back to myself as a little girl and growing up, besides if I kind of blocked out the singing and the dancing and the wanting to be center of attention, I was also very, very tidy. I had a great awareness of the space around me. I was very on trend with what was going on in interior spaces. Even as a little girl, I knew what people were doing in their homes and I wanted to get in on that fun and make it my own, but still kind of be on trend. And so I said, I'm going to start my business professional organizing. I did what most people do. I took on a few pro bono clients to figure out, was I going to work in homes, offices, closets? Like, what was I going to do? I had a blast doing it. So I started my own business. And at the same time, my husband was also pivoting and he went to school to get his master's in architecture. And he was sitting behind a desk at a cubicles and it wasn't really his jam. He's very hands-on. He likes to be on the go. And so he got a job at Google as a space planner. And when that time was up, when he kind of had done all that he needed to do there, he got his real estate license and got his home improvement license so that he could help people in their homes. And so all of a sudden, not planned, we found each other in people's homes. And I would hire him to hang shelves for my clients or to put together some cabinetry. And then he would say, hey, my client wants to do this bathroom renovation and I don't know what tile to tell them to pick out. And so we would join forces and do that sort of thing. And again, at the same time, not really planned, we also knew that we should buy some real estate. We are we are not wealthy people. I was an actor and bartender, and you know, he was he made decent money working at Google, but you know, living in New York is very expensive. But we found a way to buy the smallest, ugliest house in Queens, in Astoria, Queens. And we decided we can't hire people to help us fix this thing up, and it was pretty hideous, so we did it ourselves. And along the journey, we were sharing what we were doing on social media, and HGTV approached us and asked us to audition for a show they were doing. It was a competition-based show. And we were like, well, this sounds like fun. Of course, the actor in me is like, wait, I get to be on a stage and do the thing that I like doing? Absolutely. Let's give this a go. 4 months later of auditioning, we found ourselves in Gulf Shores, Alabama, filming a TV show for HGTV. And they put you in a bubble, and you're working from, you know, 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. once you get on to the site until, you know, midnight, and you're just banging up tile and hanging drywall and painting. And we loved every minute of it. So when we got back to New York, we decided to dissolve our other entities and join our forces. And we formed the business that it is today, called Nestor's LLC. And at first we were a construction and build company, and he and I would cut the baseboards and cut the crown molding and put the tile on the walls and hire the plumbers and electricians. And we worked in New York City apartments, which has a lot of red tape. You kind of cut down drywall just to put it back together when you get up to the apartment, because the elevators are so small. And there was just a lot of logistics just getting to do the thing that we wanted to do. So it was a very hard decision, but we decided to move from New York City. And because we bought that property, it had doubled in value in the 4 years that we lived in it with our improvements. And during living in it, at that time, there was a little basement mother-in-law suite with its own full bath that we created and its own entrance to the outside, although it was very much a single family home. And we Airbnb'd it before Airbnb was cool, when everyone thought we were crazy for welcoming in strangers into our home. But it not only paid for utilities, but also paid for a mortgage in its entirety and a little extra. So we really made out well, and got an RV for a year and traveled around the country because we didn't know where we wanted to go. Ended up in Columbus, Ohio 2 years ago, and really had to start our business all over again because we didn't know a soul here, which we very much underestimated how hard that would be. And I can't tell you how great it's been to grow very fast in our industry. Now, what we were doing in New York with construction and building and being the laborer as well as the designers is very different than what we're doing now. But now I'm managing several Airbnbs, high-end short-term rentals. I am still, I have a team of professional organizers and designers, and we help community members feel more comfortable in their home. My husband does floor plans and helps advise on out-of-state and country investors so they can feel that their money is being done with as they are said it's being done with the general contractors. They kind of have this like person on their side, and we love social media. So we're sharing all of our craziness there, and that's where we are today.
Oh my gosh. I'm smiling the whole time you're talking, because I have a lot of business, you know, leaders and stuff on here that have very interesting stories, but your story takes the cake. It just, in terms of the pivot is an understatement for you, just in how you saw something and said, let's try it. And the thing I kept thinking about, and I will get back to this later, but it's just risk. And so I want to also talk about that, because I think it's what a lot of us hold us back, right? In terms of our risk tolerance and fear of changing and doing something completely different. But thank you for sharing that. Now, I think I already know the answer to this just based on what you described, but because it's a Superpower Success podcast, we always want to ask people, like, what is a superpower that you have that you truly believe has contributed to your success in all of these different phases of your life?
It's such a good question, because I wasn't sure for a long time what my superpower was. I saw myself achieving great things. I knew that I was getting from point A to point Z and people were recognizing me for it, but I've never felt really all that much smarter than an average person, or I'm actually kind of an introvert, even though I'm an actor, or I was an actor. It's different when you get on stage and you have a script and you were taught the thing to do and you don't really see people's faces. You can kind of just go up there and be free. But if you see me at a networking event, and I'm you're probably going to find me along the wall, and I'm going to wait for you to approach me because I'm just so nervous about what that initial hello is going to be like. But the more I started listening, because I, as a business owner, I need to know that. I need to know what it is that gets me from point A to point Z and doing it well so that we can feed ourselves and actually grow. And after asking a lot of people or listening more than I thought I had been, which I'm saying it like that because I feel like my superpower is my ability to listen. I'm okay with being quiet and being at a table full of people who are really smart and really extroverted and have no problem kind of just putting out whatever comes to their mind right away. I love listening to those conversations, and I'll speak up if I feel like I have something to say, but that's done me well with myself when I was an actor and really listening to myself and what was coming out of my mouth and noticing that I was not liking who I was becoming. And my clients as an organizer, instead of having to get out a great idea and impress them, I was actually quite okay with kind of just moving slowly with them so I could really tailor our work to what made them feel comfortable so we can get to that end goal, which is why being on podcasts and things like that are kind of uncomfortable for me, because I know that the whole point of it is to share my experience of the world with listeners so maybe they can relate in some way and make a change in their lives. But I think my superpower is listening and then being able to take what I hear and kind of put a mirror on people, whether it's my clients or my peers or my colleagues, and help them achieve what they want to achieve. And by proxy, I'm kind of just being able to move forward myself as well.
I love that. And actually what I thought you were going to say was being a storyteller, but you really came full circle to that. And it's really interesting is that by listening, you're able to tell the story. Because you've actually listened, right? And so I think, I'm guessing through your interior work and all the other work that you do is there's a story through that work that needs to be told. And I think it's fascinating to see someone, and just, it's a great example of like how our strengths are so deeply rooted that it really doesn't have anything to do with what we do for a living.
Right.
It has to do what fuels us, because you're using the same strengths you used on the Broadway stage now in people's homes, right? Or to help them with it. You're using the exact same strengths. You're just utilizing them in a different way. And I think for so many of us, we look at our strengths as like, well, I don't know how that strength would apply if I took a pivot. And I think your story is just a beautiful representation of your strengths are still there. You just maybe use them in a different way. It's like, it's the same muscle. You're just exercising it in a different way.
Correct. And it may not be literal either. You know, I guess when I was first wondering what kind of pivot, like I kept myself in the entertainment industry somehow. And it wasn't that, like you said, it's you have to kind of be quiet when you want to pivot. You have to kind of, it's hard because you worry about money. You worry about what people are thinking about you. You worry about so many things, but you have to take that time to really listen to yourself when you're not formulating some thought, some idea of what you are, and you're really just being yourself and kind of maybe even reflecting on, okay, let's close on all the noise of what I was focusing on in my other career. And what else was I doing in the background? When I wanted to calm down, I was rearranging the spices in my mother's cabinet. Or when I was the bar manager, I was really good at connecting with people who were working with me as bartenders and servers. And they really appreciated I was empathetic towards their schedule for auditioning because I had been there, or trying to, you know, level up at their career where they're having to work at, you know, minimum wage in New York City so they could do that. And I think that just helped our relationship. And so all those things, management and loving spaces, and it just kind of naturally ended up happening to where I'm like, okay, this is where I belong. And I'm still very much pivoting. And right now I'm doing a lot of different things. And my husband and I, my business partner, we say, you know, there is definitely an opportunity for us to focus and hone in a little bit more, and we'll get there. But at the same time, I'm just really trying to soak in all the things so that I can get there smoother than it's been in the past.
I love that that advice about being quiet when you pivot, because I think when people think about pivoting, they think it has to be bold, right? That almost you have to get loud and you have to get bold and you have to like jump in the deep end to pivot. But I love that idea about when you're going to pivot, sometimes it's the subconscious, right? It's quieting down and allowing that subconscious to maybe even help you get through some of the fear or some of the things. And so that's my next question for you is, you know, you talk about, when you talk about you doing you and just really being who you are, you know, your uniqueness, you know, has gotten you to this point, and honoring that I know is something that you talk about, but like what caused you to like, what was the shift that happened for those people that are listening that like feel like they're on the brink of that? Like what was the shift that happened for you to kind of realize that you just needed to do you, or that you needed to honor that uniqueness, but you could apply it in a different way? Was there a moment or was there something you did to kind of find that shift?
Well, I kind of was treating my new career, my new pivot, the same way I was treating my career as a performer. And I kept transforming for people into what I thought they wanted me to be and sound like and look like. And as we all know now, in hindsight, that didn't really serve me well. I didn't get there any faster. I didn't get there any happier. I did experience success in terms of textbook success with, I had a decent performance resume and I, you know, could live mostly on performing with some bartending sprinkled in there. But so I found myself taking on clients, and now I was listening to them and I wanted to tailor the session to ways that would work well with them. I found myself also kind of letting them lead themselves, which they didn't hire me to continue to implement the same strategies they thought were working for themselves, because they weren't getting to that end goal. That's why they brought me in. And so it did take me some time to realize, like, Sarah, you have opinions. You grew up wanting to, you know, create a beautiful, tranquil space around you. And while that space might be different for someone else, I can still use what was inside me as a little girl and growing up and sharing space with other people, knowing what that means with my clients. So to also balance that with my personality, and I am, when I have something to say, I do say it. You know, I don't say it just to be heard. I say it because I know there's value behind it. And so again, when I was finding myself not succeeding with all of my clients or feeling like they were really taking the driver's seat, when I felt like there was a disconnect there, I was trying to ask myself why. And, you know, I enlisted the help of a business coach and having a journal. And I was like, you know, I don't need to put a lid on myself or to try to sound like another designer or organizer or business owner. I got here because I was being myself. And I kind of think we kind of overuse the word authenticity. And so when I hear it now, I kind of like cringe a little bit, because I'm like, even when people say they're being authentic, I feel like they're kind of just emulating other people who are saying they're being authentic. And so I think it's actually as easy as it can be to do yourself and be you. In today's society, especially with social media, I think it's super hard. So if any of your listeners are struggling with like, I don't know who I am, like, I get you. It's really hard because we see other people succeeding and we think, well, if we're like them, we'll succeed too. And I just can't encourage people to not do that more, to really just whatever it is for you to like come back into who you were before you hit school and before your parents had an opportunity to kind of mold you into who were you when you were like 2 or 3 years old, maybe even earlier, and what was your personality like? And maybe that will help you find who you are and lend themselves to what you want to become in terms of your career and your business. We are often shaped very much by our surroundings, and that's okay. But when you're looking for who you are, I think that's the reason people reach out to me now. It's like, I love the way you run your short-term rentals. You know, you put the guest first, you want to make sure that every experience is tailored, and you're not like all these other hosts who X, Y, and Z. And while X, Y, and Z might be a goal for another client, I am now able to attract clients who believe what I believe. And so we can get them to their, you know, end point sooner, happier, more profitable. And it just works. So that's why it's so important to be you.
I think it's a great reminder. And it really, Sarah, it was the whole purpose of me starting this podcast. As you know, a podcast is a labor of love. It's a lot of work. And right, it takes a lot of work to get it going and to keep it going. But the whole purpose was, I saw so many of our coaching clients that we're struggling in this whole comparison sickness, right? Of like someone else's success and they've achieved that and maybe I need to do that, but wait, that's not aligned to your values or that doesn't really fulfill you. So why are you chasing someone else's idea of success? If we can focus on who we are, our strengths, success is relative. Like there's really no definition. It's different to each of us. But when we're trying to achieve someone else's, we are waiting. We are constantly going to be disappointed because that success isn't necessarily what we're supposed to be achieving. And so I love that message that you're reinforcing that it is important for you to get down to the root. And I, you know, I even think about our surroundings today. And it's almost overstimulation of just everything coming at us is stripping all of that away to get and be quiet, right? And really think about who you are instead of what other things are defining you as. And I'm just looking, I'm sitting at my desk here and there's this great quote. And so that I love and I keep it on my desk. A friend gave me this little card and it's how many years old? And I pull it out all the time and look at it. And it says, can you remember who you were before the world told you who you should be?
Ah, so good.
Right? By Danielle Laporte. And it's just so true that we let everything else change us or not change us fundamentally, but kind of shift who we are and force us to show up differently. And if we get back to that core, that's really where success comes from. It's built on that core. It's not built on all the other superficial things around us. And I think that's just such an amazing reminder for everybody go back to remembering who you were before everything around you told you who you were supposed to be because of the degree you got, because of the first job that you got. Well, now I need to climb the ladder, right? Because I'm in the accounting space. So I guess that's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. No. That doesn't mean that's what you have to do for the rest of your life. How do you take that strength and turn it into something different, right? How do you, just like you took your listening and storytelling strengths and you did something different with them, right? You used those just in a different way. And so I think that's really refreshing for people to hear. The thing when you were first giving your introduction about your whole journey that I wanted to ask your advice on is that whole idea of change and risk. And, you know, because I know that there are people listening going, well, yeah, she could do that, but I don't have that same situation. And I couldn't take a risk like that and go 180 degrees and do what I really want to do because I need this or I need that. Is we live in that world of fear, right? That we can't make a change because of something. How did you get past that? Or what advice would you give someone that's standing at the edge of that, you know, wanting to jump, but they're fearful of all of those other things?
It's a big thing to do. And I know there will be people out there who may give me some pushback if we were in a debate situation, and I do welcome it. But at the same time, I feel like before you can take that jump, I don't advise people to jump blindly. I don't advise people to like, just go for it, girl. Like you want to be a yoga studio instructor and you've never taught it and your other career has nothing to do with it. Just try it out. Like, yes, but no. I think we need to somehow acquire some like career capital before we make that jump so that it's a smarter, more calculated pivot, right? So had I wanted to get into, if I wanted to be a TV anchor or maybe a radio show host, something a little more aligned with what I was already doing, fine. I kind of have a resume where I would maybe take a few classes and then maybe also audition a little bit find a mentor who could lead me in that space. But I wanted to go into people's homes. I really didn't know much about construction or how to work with people. I knew there was a fine line between being a therapist and being a professional organizer and helping people with their stuff. And I didn't quite have enough career capital to just open a business and hope that the money will come, right? I stayed as a bartender, a head bartender at a nice hotel for 5 years. Between that last audition for that Broadway show and going full time into my business. And it was a lot of sleepless nights. It was a lot of working until 2 a.m. at the bar and then forcing myself to get up so that I could take an online course, so that I could work for not a lot of money for a more experienced organizer. So I could join NAPO, which is the Association for Organizers and Productivity Specialists, and go to those meetings and ask questions and fail and succeed and fail and succeed and go to conferences before I created my logo and my brand and my website and took on my own clients. I did take it slowly because I just didn't want to be foolish either. So I think risk is great. And I think we have fear because we know that there is, I don't want to use the word risk again, but there's risk involved, right? And we know there are opportunities to fail and fail hard. So if we can give ourselves some sort of a bank into which we can put in our savings of career capital, then you'll be ready to cash out someday. And as long as you stay focused and have a 1, 3, 5 year plan to where you want to be, there is still risk involved. I mean, every day, I mean, we have, you know, employees now, and it's hard for me to sleep at night because I'm like, wow, they're counting on me to live their lives. Risk never goes away, especially if you want to get into your own, open your own business. But to just make sure that you're doing all the things that you should be doing so that risk factor kind of comes down a little bit, and all is still scary, you feel a little bit more confident at what can happen versus terrified that you can't pay your bills, if that makes any sense.
It does. And you used the word confidence. And I think that's a key too, is that, right, when we want to do something different, we don't know everything we need to know. And I think the confidence comes from, which is what you're saying with that career capital, I love that, is one step at a time. Right. You got to learn something to be a little more confident in it. And then you need to learn the next thing. And I think so many of us wait until we're confident to make a change or do something, and you're never going to be fully confident. I mean, I'm the same way as you are. I still have days. In fact, I said somebody, there's a shift we're making in some new products and things we're bringing to market. And I've been thinking about them for so long that I was finally like with my coach, like, help me think through this. And she said a really great thing to me that I think would be great to share here is like, you have to look at this as, is the risk greater 10 years from now? Is the risk greater of having tried this and failed or having not done it? What are you more scared of? That 10 years from now you look back and go, man, I wish I would have. Is that has to be bigger than the risk you're trying to take, right? Than that step you need to take. And I needed to hear that because I didn't want to be here 10 years from now and having someone else come up with the concept and the model and the approach and the impact in the market that we could have done, but I was too fearful to do it. So I think it's measuring that, and it's different for everyone. And we're not telling everyone go jump off the cliff and go do something different and go. It's not that. It's be deliberate about it.
Right.
But also don't be in this state of fear that controls your life, because you're going to just stay in the same place, right? You're not going to learn and you're not going to grow. And I think the way to get out of fear is to learn. And that's what I hear you saying. Take a course, go do something, go talk to someone, do a networking event and learn something different that you didn't know before. The fear starts to subside when you're learning.
You have to fiercely protect your time so that you can stay balanced. Well, I don't know if I believe in balance either, but so you can stay sane, still have fun with your family and friends and whatever it is that's currently making you an income, and also taking those calculated steps towards that 1, 3, 5 year goal of whatever that is for you, you know, having a different career totally, starting a business, whatever that is. So you have to protect your time, and you have to, I changed my costume, quote unquote, every day. Mondays, I was a bartender from this time to this time. I had my own first client for probably way too little from this time to this time. And I worked for this organizer on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. Like, you know, my life was never really different, and it was very kind of crazy for a little bit of time, but I was very calculated, and I protected my time with as much, you know, as I could so that I could remain on task. And it's really, really hard, but I can't tell you how worth it is. I love who I am today. And I've noticed more opportunities have come my way because I'm just being me, and I'm being opinionated, and I'm being kind of quiet sometimes because I'm just listening, and people are like, what are you thinking? And maybe they're judging me a little bit too, but hey, that's me. And if, you know, I do try to, like, when I go to networking events, okay, I'm gonna talk to 3 people. But once I talk to those 3 people, I am back at that wall being myself, right? It's like a balance of just like, you can't drive yourself nuts, but you also have to get out of your comfort zone every once in a while too.
It's so true. I had someone ask me the question just recently. They said, have you always been this confident? Like, when you talk about what you do and you talk, and it kind of took me back, and, you know, and I had to think about it, and I'm like, no, I have not always been this confident, right? But I've gotten, and it's exactly what you said, is I've gotten to a place in my life, and this is personal and professional, where I am who I am. There's not a lot that's going to change unless it's me growing in terms of learning and learning something different. But just knowing who you are at your core is freeing in a certain way, because it really, it's like, I now look at my business, whereas if this doesn't work, well, okay, then I'll just go do something else. Like, I already know who I am and I know what I'm good at, so I'll figure it out. And I think that level of confidence, everyone doesn't have that, but that's where I want people to get to, is just doing you and knowing who you are and building your success based on that is going to get you so much further than any other approach.
I agree 100%.
So I have loved this conversation. I truly feel like you and I could do this for hours and hours and hours. And so maybe we'll pick a different topic at a later time to do this again. But I just want to thank you, Sarah, for is busy. You've got so many things going on, and to be on this podcast and share this, because first off, selfishly, I needed to hear this again. I knew it, but hearing someone else's journey and reinforcing, I think, is the whole purpose of podcasts, is to just shift your paradigm and just shift it just a little bit and shift your perspective for that day and help you make different decisions. And it's certainly done that for me, hearing your story and your wisdom. Okay, Sarah. So I know, just based on this conversation, people are going to want to know more about you, how they can connect, how they can learn more about what you do, the podcast you're involved in. So can you give us a little bit of information, and we'll make sure and include that in the podcast notes on how people can learn more and connect with you.
Absolutely. Thanks for asking. I am the podcast host for the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals. So in short, that's called NAPO. And the podcast is called Stand Out, Growing in the Organizing and Productivity Industry. So if you're out there looking for a career change or whatever, and you're interested in organizing and productivity, these are your peeps. This podcast is great. And so there's that. And then I have my own podcast all about running Airbnbs with putting the guest first. I think Airbnbs have kind of gotten a bad rap, and I love managing them in my community and weaving them into the fabric of my community. And so that's kind of like my way of leading the charge to make Airbnbs a positive thing for communities. If you want to hang out with me or direct message me or email me, I am on Instagram all day, every day. And my handle is @ and then Nesters, Nesters. Or my website, nesters.com. Thanks so much.
Perfect. We'll include that. And for everybody else that's listening, you know, I just want to remind you, this whole topic here today has been focused on knowing who you are, knowing your strengths, and being proud of those, and not feeling arrogant talking about them, and not feeling arrogant exploiting them and really using them for good, but know what your strengths are and stop worrying about what other people's are unless you need those to complement yours, and build your own definition of success. That's our whole purpose of this podcast, is that hopefully you hear these journeys, you hear these stories, and it helps you take that next step, whatever that step looks like for you. So until next time, thanks everyone.